Welcome to the Playful Spirituality Podcast, a place to reconnect to spirit, to reclaim your unbridled wildness, and to bring you home to you. I'm Cara Viana, and I'm honored to be on this adventure with you. This is a place to discover your magic and your superpowers. And yes, you definitely have them. It's designed to tap you into the unconditional love and support flowing to you, and to help you access that wild, unbridled joy that we so often lose touch with. You can expect all sorts of resources, from spiritual and practical tools and teachings to guided meditations and energy healing. We'll have some special guests and even some live readings. This show is for all of us who are humaning, to help you navigate this ride of life. If you are open to a little more support, more ease, a broader connection to the universe and to yourself, then stay tuned and find out what might be possible with an infusion of playful spirituality. All right, y'all, I'm going to tell you a story today. I'm going to tell you a personal, very personal story that I've been thinking about telling for years. And I was very purposely waiting. I'm going to tell you the story of my miscarriages. And the reason I'm going to tell this story is because I think this is a different take on miscarriage than a lot of people have. And my hope is that maybe it can bring some peace or some insight or some support to somebody. I've been waiting to tell this story because I wanted to wait until there was a healthy, happy baby in my arms. Not that I was ever secretive at all about miscarriage, but I didn't really talk about it very publicly. For sure, to community and groups and friends and any person I met easily. It's really, really fascinating that because I was so open about having had miscarriages, other people, when they would hear me talk about it, would also then in turn share with me their story. And I cannot tell you how many women I met who, when I spoke freely about it, said, you know, I had a miscarriage too. And how many women would say, I never told anyone. Or my husband's the only person that knows. Or I didn't even tell my partner. And I get it. I really, really understand why we have this societal pattern of not talking about pregnancy until you're in the second trimester. And in some ways, it's really supportive of women because it does suck. I can attest, you know, to tell everyone and then have to go around and tell everybody you miscarried. But it also can sometimes breed a pattern of lack of support and going through something hard all on your own. So for me personally, with each pregnancy, the question was, after the first one, with the subsequent ones, the question I asked myself is, if I were to miscarry, whose support would I want? And then those are the people that I want to tell that I'm pregnant, which basically means family and friends, all my friends, all my family. And my reason for waiting to tell this story was because, number one, I didn't want pity. And I think that will make more sense as I tell these stories. And number two, while I was in the space of manifesting a baby, I didn't want other people's doubt or fears or grief or sadness for me to cloud my own manifestations. That was my reason for not publicly sharing about this in a bigger way before. And now, as you know, I have a incredibly healthy, vibrant, energetic 7-month-old baby who is downstairs squealing right now. I don't think you can hear him, but I can. Having a great time squealing because he's getting some mashed up, what's he eating down there? Avocado. And he had some strawberries, and he thinks food is the greatest thing. So he's having a great time down there. Our story begins 7.5 years ago. Actually, if you go way back, ironically, all through my 20s, when people would ask me if I wanted to have kids, I would say, I guess, yeah, probably. Like, probably I will, but in like 10 years. And I just kept on saying that when people would ask, probably in like 10 years. Yeah, probably. And I just kept getting older and I kept saying that. And then I was in my 30s and I was still saying, yeah, probably in like 10 years. And everyone was like, Carrie, your biological clock expires at 35. So you better get off the pot, like shit or get off the pot. So I told my partner at the time, like, okay, if we're going to do this, like, we're probably going to have to do this. And I was in a relationship with a wonderful man who is still a very, very dear friend of mine. So please don't let the ex-husband title make him sound like a bad guy. And we had a beautiful relationship. So we said, okay, we're going to do this thing. So, well, let's get married, which we had been planning on doing for a long time and just had been putting off. So it was, okay, let's do the wedding thing first and then we'll do the kid thing. And so we got married and then we said, great, it'll probably take us a while to get pregnant because it takes a long time. And it didn't. Very, very first month we tried, bam, pregnant. And it really shocked us. But there we were. Okay, we're pregnant. I remember going into the doctor's office for the first scan and they were like, how old are you? And I said, I'm going to be 35 in 2 months. And they were like, okay, then you're fine. And I was like, wait a minute. If I had gotten pregnant 2 months later, then I would have been a geriatric pregnancy and I would have needed all this other testing. But 2 months before and you're telling me I'm fine? That's just fucking stupid, which I maintain is fucking stupid. But I get it. They have to make a cutoff. They got to do something. So anyway. Everything seemed to be going good. And one day I sat down to meditate on this bench in my meditation space. And I hadn't even hardly dropped into my meditation. I didn't have any plan in the meditation to do any particular thing. I was just coming to sit down. And all of a sudden, sitting right next to me is a person. It was so vivid and so real, probably the most visually real meditation I've ever had. And I whipped my head around to the right. I don't think I opened my eyes because I was seeing with my eyes closed, but it was so vivid. It was as if it were very real and present, and it physically felt present. There was a human being, a full-grown human being sitting right next to me, and I whipped my head around, shocked. And this young man, maybe 22, with these guy, I remember some like soft curls and like a light blondish, something sandy colored hair. And he just gives me this big smile and he goes, hi, mom. And so I don't remember the rest. We proceeded to have a chat, I think. And all through the pregnancy, I could hear, I think it was my right shoulder. There was the energy of the baby was like, it was like the baby was sitting up on my right shoulder and just kind of jammering away at me. Blah, 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 blah. Just talking and I could feel his energy and we just kind of hang out. When I miscarried, which was really pretty early, it was only 9 weeks, nothing changed with the baby. He was still hanging out on my shoulder, still yammering away. And I felt so much grief and there was a lot of hormones and there was a lot of crying and bleeding. And, you know, it was about a week, I would say, of like, maybe not even that long. I remember I ate a pineapple fritter the size of a dinner plate. I was alone. My husband at the time was traveling for work. He got home, I think, the next day. So I had gone and done the doctor's appointment, found out by myself, and then come home. And the next day I picked him up at the airport and he was like, hey, what do you need? And I was like, donuts. So there was just a lot of, you know, snuggling in with a heating pad and crying, eating junk food, maybe watching movies or something, I don't know, for a couple days while I was going through the process. But all through this time, the baby never left. And I remember one day I was driving in the car and I was feeling sad. And then I felt the baby's energy right there, still over my right shoulder. And he said something like, I'm coming right back. Don't worry, don't worry. I'm coming right back. And then he said, this phase, this part, meaning like this early pregnancy part, it's just so delicious. I wanted to do it with you multiple times. I wanted to do it with you again. And I don't remember, those were some of the things I remember. I'm sure he said a lot of things. I do remember that when people would say things to me, really well-meaning, and I knew they were really well-meaning, but they would say like, I'm so sorry for your loss. And they would say like, your baby's with the angels now. And I would be like, no, he's fucking not. He's still right here. He's still sitting on my right shoulder, yammering away. Nothing has changed. So although I felt grief and the loss of the pregnancy, I didn't feel like anyone died. I didn't feel like, and I know this is not the case for everyone. This is just my own experience. I didn't feel a sense of, just because he was still right there. And so fast forward, I wound up having, we closed out, dissolved that relationship after 10 years together. And I believe that the miscarriage in some ways was a catalyst for that. And please don't let me freak you out. Not to say that we had a miscarriage and it caused us to get a divorce. Really, on an energetic level, what was happening, and I think I've talked about this in a different podcast episode, was that I was really powerfully attracting all of so much in relationships, so much in life, so much in all of these things. And my partner at the time was no longer an energetic match for it. And he started to have this feeling and this intuition that was like telling him that he was done. So we divorced, and it was, I mean, divorce is not for the faint of heart. Even the way we did it, which was full of a lot of love, it was still really painful. And we maintained a really great friendship. But it wound up bringing me so much. And I remember sitting in meditation one day during the divorce process, and my baby shows up. And this time he's got another little spirit with him. There's two of them. And I was pissed. I was like, don't you come knocking at my door. Go find your father, because I am not willing. Don't put any pressure on me, which they weren't, but I was grieving and sassy. I said, don't put any pressure on me. I am not willing to do this by myself. There are a lot of really tough women out there. Really, really amazing women who are like, yeah, hell yeah, I'll sign up to do momhood alone. And I was like, no, I don't want it that bad. I just don't. So if you want to come in and you want me to be your mom, I'm all for that. Go find your father. And they did. So I wound up meeting my current partner really quickly after that. I've told that story before. And during the divorce process, because I was then 36, because maybe that whole process, you know, was about a year or something. So then I was 36 and I thought, well, what are the chances that, you know, I'm going to have time to meet someone, fall in love and start a family? I don't know. So I just sort of let go. I just surrendered and I was like, whatever's meant to happen. As far as a baby goes, I don't know. I might be outside my window. I'm just going to let go of that and be okay with it. And I was. So when I met my partner, it wasn't even something that we were really actively focused on in the beginning. We were just building a relationship. And 1 year in, we had a very surprise pregnancy. Very, very surprise. I remember there was one day. Boy, he really, really got on board with it, like instantly. And I was shocked because we hadn't been planning one way or the other, kids or no kids, really. I remember one day where he had kind of a freak out about it. And he was like, I don't know if I'm ready. And I don't know all these things. And I don't know. And which, you know, is a really normal thing to think, right? But of course, with all the hormones coursing through me, then I freaked out and was like, oh no, maybe you don't even want to be a dad. And I remember he was like, hey, like, chill out. It was much more dramatic than this for both of us, I'm sure. But chill out. He's like, I'm 90% excited and 10% scared. And right now I'm just in the 10% scared. And it was so helpful for me to have those numbers. I was like, oh, you might be more excited than me then, because I'm way more than 10% scared. Then when we miscarried, it was so clear that the baby was like, I said very, very clearly, I was just getting you guys ready. I was just getting you ready. Like priming the pump, I had to get you ready first. The two of you had to be ready. And so that really like kicked us into gear into this like, well, what are we going to do? Are we going to try to have a family? And it really began those conversations and began us trying to plan and figure out what we were going to do. And it was a couple of years, I think, further where we had decided we were going to try to get pregnant. And we'd gone and talked to a fertility doctor. We had, I think, now I'm getting a little confused with the timeline of things. I think we had tried one or two rounds of IUI, which is the, unlike IVF, it's the like baby version where they take sperm, and then they put it in like a syringe with a hose on the end, and they just inject the sperm up in past the cervix. So the idea is that the sperm doesn't have to swim nearly as far. It doesn't have to swim up the vaginal canal, and it doesn't have to swim through the cervix. So a much higher number of sperm get up towards the egg to increase your chances, and they pump you full of some hormones. I mean, they don't have to, but they can, and they did pump me full of some hormones. Because at this point, how old are we? I don't know, 40. And those were not successful. But then one of the months where we were not trying IUI, we wound up getting pregnant all on our own. And then when we miscarried that time, so we're now 3 miscarriages in total, and our ages are getting up there, and I had started to have this really powerful calling to move back to Hawaii. When I met my partner, I had been living on the Big Island in Hawaii for 13 years. I had no intention of ever moving, but he lived in Colorado. And so I said, okay, well, I'm mobile. I'll come out to Colorado for a while, but with the caveat that we're going to move back to Hawaii one day. And he said, okay. So it had been a couple of years in Colorado, and I started to get that knock, knock, knock feeling of the islands calling me home. And so we'd been working towards this move back home to Hawaii, and it took us a while. It's not necessarily the easiest move to make. It's one of the most expensive places. It was a lot for us to financially figure it all out and move our whole lives and 3 pets and everything else. So it took a while. And we got here. I began the process of, we had done several more rounds of IUI with no success. I don't know that we were going to be a good candidate for IVF. I think the doctor originally had told us that we probably wouldn't be. We'd need to probably use a donor egg. And so we had started the conversation and the Zoom meetings or whatever with the fertility clinic that's out here on the islands. And they said, okay, great, we want you to run a couple more tests, and then we can have the conversations with you about IVF. We were trying to figure out how we were going to pay for it and all the things. And we were waiting for my period to start, because as soon as it did, then I needed to, like, the next day hop on a plane to fly over to Oahu to do this test they wanted me to do. And both of us had been on a lot of different hormones. My partner had had to do immense hormone therapy. And so had I, to try to boost all of our numbers, which was not fun, as you can imagine. And the day that my period was due, I got this nudge from my higher self that was like, hey, you should take a pregnancy test. And I was like, no. Because I had learned that for me, it was more fun to not take a test and live in the space of possibility for a few more days than to take a test and feel the disappointment of it being negative. And so I was like, no, I'm not going to take a pregnancy test. And I got the nudge again, this push on my shoulder, like, hey, 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 hey. So I muscle tested, am I pregnant? And my body said, yes. And I was like, you're a liar. Because I am very accurate when it comes to muscle testing, except for the question, are you pregnant? My body would always say yes to this question. And I'm like, obviously, you just want to be pregnant and you're excited. And I want, and that is messing up our muscle testing here. But I can still feel this nudge. So finally, exasperated, I go, look, is there a specific reason why it would be important for me to know today? And the muscle test was so emphatic, it almost knocked me over. I had to like hold out my hands to catch myself on the counter. It was so strong. Yes. So I was like, okay, fine. And I didn't put this together, but what was happening downstairs, I mean, I knew what was going on downstairs, but I didn't understand that this was why I needed to take the test right then. Because one of the hormones that my partner had had to take, which is like a normal hormone that gets prescribed to men and women in fertility often, there had been some weird FDA thing and the compounding pharmacy was going to be unable to get this hormone. So he had gotten as much of it as he could for like a couple months worth, and that was running out. And now the cost of this hormone, which was like, I don't know, a couple $1,000 a month, cost prohibitive to keep taking it. He had figured out how to get some and was having to go through this very complex process because he just ordered it from another country. He was having to like rehydrate it and filter it and do all this chemistry stuff, which he had to teach himself because who the hell knows how to do that. And then he was going to attempt to inject himself with this stuff he'd gotten from another country. So anyway, this is what was going on downstairs. He was learning how to do this. And I take this test. I set it on the counter. And I'm like, Kara, just wait the 5 minutes and don't look at it. And I'm expecting a negative because we haven't done a round of IUI. We've just been, trying normally. And we'd been moving. We'd been under a ton of stress. I'd been sick. Like, I suspected this was a very, very low chance. So when I looked and I saw the positive pregnancy test, you can imagine my shock. I looked at it many times. And then I went to go running downstairs and tell him. And he was like, you mean I don't have to take these? He was about to inject himself with these crazy, sketchy hormone. He's like, you mean I don't have to take this? And I was like, no, you can be done with the hormones. And I'll tell you one more really beautiful story. So of course we were pretty scared about, we're 42. So our window we felt like was, you know, at least with our numbers, was dwindling. And we were ecstatic about being pregnant and ecstatic about saving the immense amount of money that we were going to have to borrow or figure out where to get to do IVF, and just so excited to be done with all the hormone journey. So that very first scan that we went to go into, we were really terrified, especially me, because we had been into, that was the scan where we had at the last miscarriage learned that we were miscarrying. So in prep for that, I was doing all this work to release the fear because I was making myself physically sick and anxious with so much fear. And so I had people all over the world supporting us and sending healing. And one of the things I did was reach out to my EMDR mystic therapist who had been with me since before divorce. And so she has seen and was supported me through all three miscarriages. She did a really beautiful thing for me. She said, Kara, this one's going to stick. And we know this one's going to stick because we know, looking back in hindsight, the reason for all of your miscarriages. And I was like, yeah, you're right. You're right. We do. And she went through them with me. And she said, we know that first miscarriage was to end that relationship because that wasn't meant to be the father of your baby. And we know that second miscarriage was to get you guys primed and ready and to solidify in that you were going to have a family. And we know that third miscarriage was to feather the nest and strengthen your relationship and do all of these other things to spark you getting out to Hawaii and doing all of the things that you've done that have made this the most epically perfect timing for you guys to have a baby. I could see that so clearly. Everyone who was rooting for us around the world knew we were going in for our scan that day. And I'd been really, really visualizing, we're going to see a heartbeat, we're going to see a heartbeat. And when we did see his heartbeat, there was this amazing wave of relief and love and tears. And as soon, I couldn't wait to get out to the car and tell everyone, because everyone was waiting, like holding their breath for us. And so I sent out these mass text messages around the world, and everyone responds back in tears. Everyone was like, I'm crying right now. And I felt this eruption of love, like around the world, this eruption of love for us and for this baby. And I just knew how brilliant his timing was. How brilliant. And I thought the timing had been good in all these other circumstances, and I could have given you a million reasons. And from the outside, it looked like the timing was good, and it was. But this was better. This was epic timing. And then it has been. It's been amazing and miraculous and beautiful and so much fun. One of the things that I want to say, one of the things that I know about miscarriage, and you can believe anything that you want to believe, right? This is what I know for me, and this is what I know when I have looked and studied this. Many times, it's the same spirit coming again and again. For me, I never had that like powerful biological clock saying, have a baby, have a baby, have a baby. And I never had that dream of always being a mother. I didn't not want kids, but I didn't think it looked that great. So part of what was really helpful and important for me and the miscarriages is that I met my baby. That was something that kept me moving forward. And for some people it would, and for some it wouldn't. For me it did. So I was really going off of this intuition, this higher self push saying like, yeah, you're going to have a kid and this is what you're going to do and do these things and put in all this effort and work. And of course, my baby calling me forward, right? So a lot of times when I look, when someone has had a miscarriage, and by the way, abortion is the exact same thing. You could listen to all of the things I'm saying and just replace the word. I actually get the words confused often because they are so energetically similar. Same exact story for, it makes no difference. When I look at a miscarriage, when I'm doing a reading or with my own, with friends, oftentimes I see, oh, that was the same baby. Like that miscarriage that you had is the same baby as your other baby that you have running around now who's six or whatever. And there's so many beautiful stories out there about children talking about that when they're just talking, and they'll say that time that I was in your tummy before the time I was in your tummy, and they'll talk about it. And another really beautiful thing that I've seen is that, and I think it's helpful for us to remember, is that when a soul comes in, that soul has the intention of this life. And no, not everything is preset, but when you're talking about a really, really, really short life like that, that was planned. That soul knew exactly what it was doing, and it was on purpose, coming to live that 6 week or 8 week life, coming to live that very, very short experience for, I mean, what a beautiful experience if that's all that you needed and wanted in just coming to swim around in the pure love of another human being. How gorgeous. Once with a friend of mine, we were in ceremony together and she had had a miscarriage. And when I looked, I saw one of her spirit guides had come to do that with her. This was a being that had no intention of having a physical human life, had no intention of, you know, wasn't planning to come back, was sort of operating in this time and space as one of her guides, but said, I'm going to come forward and do this experience with you, for you and with you. So it was this immense gift for both of them. And that was all that was meant to, in that case, it wasn't like a foreshadowing of future pregnancy. That was the whole experience, was just this amazing, beautiful gift that they got to do together. So here's my advice. If you have had a miscarriage or you know someone, if the way that I'm explaining all of this here brings you some sense of peace or relief or you just like it, or it feels kind of good to you, take it. Take it. If it doesn't feel good to you, if it butts up against things that did give you relief and this doesn't, toss it the fuck out. Say Kara's full of shit. She probably doesn't know what she's talking about. Great. If it doesn't make you feel good, then I don't know what I'm talking about. Pretend you didn't even listen. One more thing I do want to say is, if you know someone who's going through miscarriage or has recently been through it, it can be tricky to know how to support them, because for some people, it feels like they've been through a huge death and they're in the grief of a death, and they want to grieve it and view it as a person who has died. And for some people like me, that was not what I was feeling. Grief and loss for sure, but not in that same way. So it can be hard to know how to broach the subject. For me, right away, when I was deep in it, in the, you know, days or a week or so right after, people's messages of love and condolence were great. But after that, once I had processed it a little bit, then I wasn't in the energy of wanting that. You know, I was wanting maybe love and support, but in a different way. So I think it's okay to just ask. A girlfriend of mine recently went through a miscarriage, and I said to her, before I want to be here for you, and I want to love you, and I'm surrounding you in so much love, and I just want to know where you're at in this process so that I can know how to love you. You know, is it helpful for me to hold space in the grief? Is it helpful for me to hold space in the beauty of the experience? Or do you want to talk about it? Do you want to be distracted? Do you want to, you know, do you want to go out for ice cream? Do you, what are you needing right now? And I think it's okay to ask. I think it's okay to offer that support and be wherever people are at. Some people are going to want to have an actual funeral or some kind of ceremony. Some people are going to want to do something to commemorate it. Some people want to feel it and then move on. There's really not a wrong way to do this. So please don't judge anyone going through it, however they're going through it. Please just follow their lead, and whatever it is that they're showing you, help support them in that. I can also tell you that, at least for me, it was a beautiful experience. It was a beautiful experience. And yes, this baby was very actively 7.5 years in the making, but it has brought such a fine, poignant power to the desire. It has me in a space of reveling this experience to such a degree that I would not have known to do if I hadn't had all of the experiences that I had. So thank you for listening. I hope this was beneficial to someone. If you're all sick of hearing baby motherhood related stuff, don't worry, our next episode's something different. As always, I'd love to hear if there's anything you would like to hear about in future episodes. We love to hear questions and topic ideas, so you can send those over anytime on any of the platforms. Deep bow of gratitude to you, my friends, for showing up for yourself and taking the time for this experience. If you enjoyed this, and I hope you did, it would mean so much to me if you would write a positive review. And please share this with your friends who you think might enjoy it. My team has set up some free presents for you, including a guided meditation, an energy healing, and a sneak peek into one of my programs. So go to caraviana.com to download those. With the deepest love, cheers to all that you are.